kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I have a title for our teaching today, Spirit-Led Intercessions. Spirit-Led Intercessions. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray. They recognized that he was doing something that they were not. Jesus' life was characterized by his prayer and sometimes even praying through the night. And we too have to experience the Holy Spirit leading and guiding our prayers. There are, of course, prayers in the understanding. There are prayers of thanksgiving and so on. But we're talking here about the Spirit that leads intercessions. And this is where prayer can be, if led by the Spirit, can go on, if need be, all through the night. And God wants overcomers to start experiencing this more and more. Because the Lord says, my house is a house of prayer. And we have got to learn that the Holy Spirit, he has his prayers. God has his prayers. We're very quick to give our prayers to God. And there is nothing wrong with that. But have we ever considered that God has prayers, intercessions? Because that is what I want to look at this evening. And that's why I'm calling this Spirit-led intercession. And it tells us here in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then he goes on, and also for me, because he wants to be able to preach the gospel. He wants doors of ministry to open. Now, it's interesting that the apostle gives this verse right in what he's just spoken about with regard to the whole armor of God. So in actual fact, what he's been doing as he's leading up towards this, he's showing us that we're not up against flesh and blood. We are up against powers, principalities, dominions. And because of this, we have to be empowered in which to pray and intercede and supplicate. In other words, the natural mind is not sufficient to be able to deal with these prayers and Spirit-led intercession. This again is why the baptism in the Holy Spirit is so important. And our praying in tongues is so important. Because those tongues, which are always developing because they are languages, are absolutely vital in this form of prayer. So we're beginning to see how dependent that we are on the Holy Spirit to create these blessings and these experiences. This sort of prayer is moving beyond yourself, beyond flesh, beyond our limitations. It is the Holy Spirit inspiring, empowering for this sort of prayer. And indeed it has to be, because he's just spoken before in those verses with regard to spiritual warfare. You are dealing with the powers of darkness. You are dealing with the enemy. So you need to understand what the Spirit is doing through you. You need to be taught how to intercede in the Spirit. You see, these intercessions do not belong to us. And there's the key to this. They are the Lord's intercessions. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. And we know this well. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save us to the utmost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for who? For us. Christ's intercessions, now sitting at the right hand of the Father, are his intercessions for us. And that is why we have to get in the Spirit. This is why God in many times will even bypass the natural understanding, the logic, because we're talking about the Christ's burdens, Christ's intercessions being imparted through the church, through us as vessels, to pray, to intercede for them to be birthed through. Are you beginning to see this now, brothers and sisters? We use this term so often about intercession, and yet we have little understanding what we're really actually saying. This is why there is little intercession that actually takes place, because intercessions are the prayers of Christ praying through me. The burden of the Spirit of God. This is how Jesus prayed. He prayed, he birthed through, and sometimes it took all night to birth it through what the Father was revealing. And all he had to do was open his mouth and God would speak through him, or lay hands upon the sick and cast out demons, or raise the dead, because it had to be birthed through. And we need to wake up to this, brothers and sisters. It's no different. We've got to understand God's intercessions. And that's why we have to get out of the way. This is why God brings the cross into our lives, which we preach about so much. It is dealing with self. It's dealing with us, what I want. And when we finally surrender to the cross, we begin then to get an understanding and a revelation of what God wants, and not what we always want. And that's why our intercessions don't always work. Many can't really be used in this ministry because they're not willing to deal with their emotions and their feelings that interfere. Did you know that your emotions, your feelings, which are always connected with unbelief, actually interfere this type of praying? You see, intercession is praying God's will for a person or for a saint or for a situation, whatever it would be. And when we begin to step back from the Lord, we take on emotional sympathy for that person. So in other words, if my relationship is not as it should be with God, or I am resisting God, or there's unforgiveness, sin in my life, then my intercessions are not effective. Because I've actually removed myself away from the closeness of God and this special ministry. So your connection, your sensitivity to God and what he's saying is gone. But we know that we're to pray, and so we'll continue to religiously pray, but we are praying in the wrong spirit, in the wrong attitude. We're praying, we're finding it's our emotions which are stirred up, and we're thinking that is intercession. You see, intercessors, and when we pray intercessory prayer, we have to be sure and certain of God praying and believing and interceding through me. Even if we are struggling at times, and the Apostle Paul helps us, he gives us that famous verse that we know so well in Romans 8, verse 26, to help us even with this. And what does he say here in Romans 8, verse 26? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in what? Our weaknesses. Because we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So he's even there to help us in our weakness for prayer, to intercede. When we're going through trial or whatever it is. You see, I'm not talking about sin here, but I'm talking about emotion, where we have wrong sympathies. And these cause us to no longer pray God's will. Even if you're praying in tongues, you can still be praying God's will. You cannot pray these prayers by your idea, by your prejudice, by your emotions, or your idea, or what you think it should be, or how God should do it. You cannot pray these intercessions like this, because they are God's intercessions. These are coming from our high priest, whose name is Jesus. And we are open to what he is saying, how he feels, what he is doing, what he wants to do. Whether it's praying for some person or a church or a ministry or whatever it would be, we have to get our own preconceived ideas out of the way. And we don't. That's our problem. We may hear of a problem in the church, and immediately we're trying to get our minds and our thoughts, well, it could be this, it could be that, and so on. Okay, the Lord may show that way, but don't use that when you start to get into intercession. Whatever you're praying on, Father, I need your heart. I need you to pray through me. Here I am. I'm available to intercede, and I will wait on you. That's what God is wanting from us. And you will begin to see the heavens open. You will begin to see the powers of darkness parting. You will see the devil flee, because you are praying through God's will in intercession. And of course, if you're praying in tongues, that is then where the power lies, because the enemy doesn't know those tongues and languages that are coming through you in those intercessions. And this is why he tries to attack us. He tries to stop us. And he tries to attack in the mind. He tries to attack with the emotions that are contrary to God's will. It's not to say we're not emotional and that we shouldn't have emotions. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is they should not be my discernment. They should not be controlling me how I pray. So often that is what happens. I should be controlled by the Holy Spirit because they are his prayers, his intercessions. If you're praying for your son or your daughter for their salvation, well, you're thinking, well, maybe, you know, they're not coming to God because, you know, they went through a time where they were on drugs and they've opened the door and these are demonic oppressions and everything. And I'll pray on this. I'll get an intercession. Don't do it. That is your logic. That is your thinking. Unless the Holy Spirit has shown you that, then that is different. But that is emotion. That is idea. That's you looking back and thinking, well, it could well be this. So I'll intercede. And nothing happens. Why? Because you've allowed your emotions, you've allowed your intellect to get in the way. You don't do that with these prayers. This is intercession. This is God's prayers. Christ the High Priest. And then, of course, we can be stubborn where we say, I will not let this happen. I will stop this from going on any longer. And what do? We make wrong decisions. We're doing it. When God knows all about it, he knows much more about it than you do or I do or anyone. How can we go wrong when we are open to the Holy Spirit praying through us? You see, true intercession takes your eyes off yourself and your needs. Because your needs, yourself, interferes with intercession. And that is why you have to give yourself time before you start interceding. Because this intercession is not about you or me. It is about my high priest, whose name is Jesus. And he is burdened. He wants to pray. He wants to intercede. And he wants to use me as a vessel in which to pray through whatever he reveals and shows. That's what this is all about, brothers and sisters. We've really, really got to learn this, you know. If we want to see our prayers effective, if we want to see the power of God fall in the house of God, touching lives and our families and so on. Let me read it to you again. For such as a high priest, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him. So much of our prayer intercession is about a salvation. We want that person to come through. We want our family to come through. But they don't come through because we've got our emotions in the way. We've got our logic, our ideas about the situation. It's in the way. since he always lives to make intercessions for them. That's what he does. He is making the intercessions. This is why I say, brothers and sisters, we know nothing unless the Lord reveals. And that is what he's doing. And the humble, the lowly, the meek will understand that one. And that is why he's dealing with pridiness like he is. Because that pride knows better than God. And you can't intercede. I'm reminded of the sin of King David. Here's an example here. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And Nathan, the prophet, has revealed to him, he's come to David and shown him that he has sinned. He's sinned against the Lord and everything, but it's not a sin unto death. And let's take it up from verse 13. So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die." Then Nathan departed to his house. Now here we are. This is exactly what we do. What has Nathan said here? He has said, "The child also who is born to you shall surely die." And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm." When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servant, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And so it goes on. David was told the child was going to die. David's emotions are in the way. He prays, he fasts, he believes in his heart, "Lord, raise him up. I've sinned, that child should not suffer. It's my fault, spare his life." Can you hear it? It's exactly the same thing that you would say, I would say, and so forth, but it's not intercession. God's will is done here. God knows it's hard, absolutely hard. But God's will was done here, and that child was taken. And all that he tried to do didn't change anything. And all you try and do, and with your emotions and everything, nothing happens, does it? Because with this, you have the Spirit pray through you. These are God's prayers. Now, you have to be prepared for God's prayers. You have to be prepared if he reveals to you what he's going to do, what he wishes to do. You may not always like it. And that is where we have to grow up. We have to mature, because these prayers are not about us, about our needs or what I want. Intercession calls us to pray, not find out what God is wanting. This is why they are the high priest's prayers. It's not wrong for you to say, I am going before my Father to pray the high priest's prayers and intercessions. That would not be theologically wrong. But the question we raise is, how many in the house of God are praying like this? And we're still praying in similar ways, like King David. Now, of course, King David had sinned. And I'm not saying that, I said earlier, it's not necessarily a sin. It's just emotions. It's just our will. It's how I perceive it or how I see it. We don't see anything. We don't understand anything unless God reveals. And he will. He will reveal in a situation. It's because we don't always want to know the answer. We don't always want to know the revelation. We don't want to know what God's really saying. Now we know the heart of the Father. It is his desire that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. But we also know that there are many who will sadly perish. We need to pray sometimes for those who are calling themselves Christians, but you need to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying, because it may not be that they are. But we don't want to face those things. And once you settle that, you have heard the high priest, what he's saying, then you are a powerhouse in which to pray and intercede for that soul or who think that they are saved. It's that serious. This is why I have such a high regard for those early Christians. And a lot of them were evangelicals, but they made so much about the new birth. They looked for the new birth. They looked for repentance, the fruit of repentance in believers. They looked for those changed lives. We've lost all of that today. You can be anything you want. You can be like the world and dress like the world and be like the world. That isn't. God is dealing with that. He's putting it away. God's house is a holy house. Our meeting, even today, tonight, is a holy meeting. And we have to understand God's mind, his heart, his will, his word. And this is why he deals in the way that he does. This is why we have found that some God's had to put to one side. Because his meeting is holy. And God has been protecting us. Do you know what he protects us from? His fire, his presence that could strike us dead or burn us. Because that is what's coming back to the house of God. And so we need to learn this, brothers and sisters. We need to pray these prayers that the Father is praying through us, the high priest. He knows the heart of man. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife better than you do. And so you need to get your mind out of the way. You need to get that unforgiveness out of the way. Or whatever it is that's hindering, because you cannot intercede otherwise. Oh, you can pray in tongues, but your whole being is not entering into it. How often do you pray in tongues, finding that your mind is thinking on other things, completely detached from what you're praying about? That's an indication your prayers are going no higher than the ceiling. And you need to stop. And you need to get it right. And you need to be honest before God. These are not your intercessions. We do not know how to pray for any of us unless God reveals. Because what we think, we often get it wrong. And then we become despondent, depressed, that nothing's happening, nothing changes, and so on. Intercessory prayer changes things, trust me. And this is why the devil attacks like he does. Do you think the devil likes this message tonight that I'm giving? He does not. He's trembling. Because God is revealing something here to us. As I started to prepare this, it was like all light started coming on. I thought to myself, Father, this is very powerful you are giving tonight. May we grasp this, not with our minds, but with our heart and spirit. Because the enemy doesn't want our prayers being answered. And this is where we're going to see major changes with this. When we start to pray the high priest's prayers. Because he knows what to pray. He knows the needs. He knows what is needed in the church and individually. He knows what is needed when we pray for our governments, for our country, for the lost, for sinners, you name it. But he also knows he needs to pray his prayers to us, that doors will be open, that the word of God will be preached, that the laborers will go out anointed to the harvest. Can I say, along with the Apostle Paul, pray, intercede the high priest's prayers for this ministry and the teaching that I give. Because we go as far as God gives through the pulpit. And this is why so little is happening with churches, because fire has not fallen on the pulpit. And it has to purge. So the question, as I end with this, spirit-led intercessions, is that what you want? Do you want to be used for this? No, God is not forcing anyone. You don't have to do this. You can just continue with your prayers and praying in your understanding. But this is completely on another level, what we're talking about here. Because look at the context in which he's writing this in chapter 6 of Ephesians. He's been talking about our warfare against powers and principalities, dominions. And he's saying, this is not flesh and blood. Don't try and get the carnal mind into this. You won't understand this. And then he starts to give us the clue, praying always with all prayer, supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. So it's prayer intercession. And the more you go into this intercession, the Holy Spirit makes you watchful. He makes you discerning. He causes you to be sensitive, to pray for the saints, to pray for the church, because that is the high priest revealing to you his prayers. Can we say verse 18 is revealing the high priest's prayers? He's showing us some of his burdens, his prayers. He wants to pray through us. So it's all there. And the Apostle Paul says, I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray for me that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. He didn't want to compromise. He didn't want to have to battle that fear and the opposition. That was the high priest's prayers for him. That's what he's asking. And so how many enter into that? Not getting their mind or emotions in the way. Oh, I can't pray that for the Apostle Paul. I'm fearful for his life. They might kill him or whatever. You're no good if you're thinking like that. Forget it. You can't pray. You can't pray that prayer. The emotions, your will, your mind has got in the way. But if you want this and you've been stirred up for this, then God will work it. Of course he wills. He wants his saints. He wants the church. Spirit-led intercession, praying the prayers of Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this teaching. I believe, Lord, we all have our name and address on this. Please teach us. Father, what we have heard, may we enter into this. And forgive us, Father, that we have so allowed our emotions, our ideas, our will to get in the way. But Lord, we know nothing. And we want to know. And it can only come from Jesus, the High Priest. And Lord, we make ourselves available and ask, as your disciples ask, Lord, teach us to pray this. We ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus, I'll find secure.